From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Rough week for the GOP last week. The White House they so longed for, thought they had coming, stayed with the Democrats and President Obama. It was a tough blow and not the only one that for many left the GOP looking out of touch with a bunch of the country and maybe the country's future. Now comes the self-examination inside the party, the question of what went wrong and what next. This hour on Point, Republicans survey the meaning of their 2012 losses. You can join the conversation. What happened to the GOP last week and why? Is the party out of touch? Is it off track? Republicans, what are you thinking? Everyone, what do you see? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We have a range of Republican views with us this hour. Joining me first from Washington is David Frum, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush and now contributing editor at the Daily Beast, Newsweek, contributor to CNN. He just published a new ebook that was fast, titled Why Romney Lost. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. David Frum, welcome back to On Point.
Hey, thank you so much.
And with us from Manassas, Virginia, is Richard Viguerie, chairman of the conservative news and commentary site conservativehq.com, author of Conservatives Betrayed, How George W. Bush and Other Big Government Republicans Hijacked the Conservative Cause. Richard Viguerie, welcome back to you as well.
Good to be with you again, Tom.
David Frum, first to you. What went wrong for the GOP?
Well, we need to understand that whatever it was, it's been going on for a while. In the past six presidential cycles, the Republican Party has won a majority of the vote just once in 2004 and then barely. Contrast that with the six previous presidential elections where the Republican Party won five and in all six, including the defeats, averaged 52.5% of the vote. A majority party from 68 to 88, a majority party no more since 88.
Why?
What's going wrong? And I would argue that many things in the cultural reactionary message that you heard from, you know, people like Todd Akin didn't help. The core problem is an economic message that is not appropriate to these times, very appropriate to the 1980s, but increasingly irrelevant to middle class America today.
What does that mean? What's wrong with the message, the economic message then?
The economic message is that the greatest the idea behind our current economic message is that the greatest burden on the middle class is taxes. And that is just no longer true. The great burden on the American middle class is wage stagnation driven by rising health care costs, the pressures of globalization, and the increasing inequality that not only means that the rich are getting richer, but means that in the United States, more than any advanced country except England, a child born poor is less likely to escape poverty. We're less likely to escape poverty if you're born poor in the United States than if you're born poor in France, than if you're born poor in Germany, than if you're born poor in Denmark. The great American promise is broken. Those are today's problems. And I think we had the right answers as conservatives for the problems of 1980. But you simply can't keep replaying that election over and over and over again.
Richard Viguerie, misreading the economy itself. That was supposed to be a strong suit, the economy, for the GOP this time. And David Frum says wrong on maybe a culturally reactionary message as well. You can interpret that in a lot of ways. How do you interpret what happened last week, Richard?
Well, I agree with David when he says the problems that the party has been going on for a long time. That's certainly true. Since the 1980s, the Republican Party has been very conflicted. In fact, it's been conflicted for literally 100 years this year when Teddy Roosevelt left the Republican Party, started the Blue Moose Party, and the Republicans have been at war with themselves ever since, between the big government Republicans and the small government constitutional conservatives. And since the 1980s, with Bush 41, Bob Dole, Bush 43, McCain, Romney, the leadership of the Republican Party, not only for presidential candidates, but also in Congress with Bill Frist, Denny Hastert, John Boehnert, Mitch McConnell, etc., has been out of sync, out of touch with the American people. And it's, I think, now time for the small government conservatives, Tea Party types, to take over the Republican Party. Whenever the face of the Republican Party is these big government Republicans, as it was in 06, 08, 2012. People reject that, Tom. They don't like that. When the face of the opposition to the Democrats is small government, constitutional, conservative, Tea Party types, like in 1994, in 2010, people respond very favorably. This Gallup in 2010 election, November election day, people said that when the Democrats were thrown out of office, Democrats were held in higher esteem than the Republicans. But the face of the party in 2010 was the Tea Party, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Levin, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, etc. And people like that. They don't like the Mitt Romneys, the John McCains, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell types. And until the Republicans get new leaders, they're going to continue to wander in the wilderness.
So, David Frum, time for the Tea Party to take over again? Is that the message from this vote last week?
That's more of the whiskey that we've been drinking. What Richard Viguerie does not note is that in 1994 and 2010, congressional elections, about 40% of the country came out to vote. In presidential elections, about 55% of the country comes out to vote. In 2010, the electorate that showed up was 35% over age 60. In 2012, the electorate that showed up was 15% over age 65. Now, it's true. If you restrict the vote to old white conservatives, the current Republican message does very well. But in presidential years, when people who are not old and not white and not conservative show up, when you get something more like the whole country, although still not the whole country, it's only 55%, conservatives lose, and badly. So, yes, the Tea Party has a message for small electorate years. It has a message for the old, it has a message for the white, and it has a message for the conservative. But it doesn't have a message for America. And if you want to win elections in America, you have to talk to the Americans, not all of whom are old, not all of whom are white, and not all of whom are ultra-conservative.
Richard Viguerie, what about it? The GOP out of touch with the country as it is. You could certainly read the numbers last week and say, well, yeah, David's got a point.
Absolutely, Tom. We've tried it. Why do we want to double down on that which has failed?
What do you mean by that?
We tried running moderate big government Republicans named Mitt Romney, John McCain, both Bushes, Bob Doles. And David is right. People don't respond well to those people. And so we need to change leaders at the national level. People don't like out-of-touch big government Republicans.
But he's saying you're only winning with the Tea Party tough message in off-presidential election years. 2010,
no.
Yes. And when everybody comes to the polls, no.
We won three landslide elections in the 1980s with a conservative message. Even Bush's 41's 1988 election was a conservative election. People thought they were voting on the third term of Ronald Reagan. And since then, we've gone with the big government Republicans, and they've failed. So now their solution is, say, kind of like the communists. Sometimes they say, well, communism doesn't succeed because we've only tried it 90-95%. We haven't tried it 100%. So now they're saying we need more big government Republicanism, and that's the solution to Republicans' problems.
So you think in the future you'll do better with a hard Tea Party message? I mean, a lot of people...
Well, that's your word, hard, Tom. That's not, Americans
I'm looking at the results. I'm looking at how Americans responded to, I think, what a lot of people associate with sort of Tea Party, a combination of tough stance on the fiscal front and tough stance on the cultural front, the comments on rape and women and all the rest.
Those seem to me
bound together a little bit.
Well, that's extreme positions to say that, two candidates for the Senate who were inept, inartful,
and were Tea Party candidates.
Well, that's right. But what about the establishment big government candidates like George Allen in Virginia, Connie Mack in Florida, Tommy Thompson in Wisconsin? What about the big government Republicans in North Dakota and Montana? They all lost. But all we can talk about is the few that conservative Tea Party types that lost. We don't talk about the majority of Senate candidates that lost. They were big government types. And by the way, there were three new Republican senators elected this last week, and all three of them were Tea Party types. Jeff Flake in Arizona, Ted Cruz in Texas, Debbie Fisher in Nebraska, all conservative Tea Party types.
Richard Viguerie, we've talked for a long time. What do you really think is going on here? Is the American electorate changing? Is it shifting away from the GOP ideals that you represent? Are you going to put it all on the moderate face of Mitt Romney? I mean, after all, before the election, you said you were voting for him enthusiastically. Is it really all about that moderate face, or is there some other disconnect that's happening with the values you've represented and the American electorate?
Not at all. I've heard ad nauseum big government Republicans since the election talk about the social issues, traditional conservative issues cost the Republican the election. The Democrats ran an extremist position on social issues, war on the Catholic Church, abortion, same-sex marriage, but there was no response, Tom, from the Republicans. No response.
Gay marriage won at the popular polls in Maine and Maryland.
And a few liberal states, Tom.
Well,
but 90% Tom, of the time that's been on the ballot, the conservative position won. So 10% of the time, the liberal position won. And the charge that is made that is not answered is assumed to be correct. The Democrats were in your face on the social issues in their convention, and the Republicans were silent. They did not go after Obama on his radical abortion positions, such as he refuses to support a bill that will protect a baby that is born alive in a botched abortion. That is a radical, extreme position, and Romney would not talk about it. He would not talk about the Democrats' war.
So you think the Tea Party is the way back, Mr. Vigor?
I think small government constitutional conservatism is the way back, when the Tea Party represents that.
We're going to hear more from more Republicans. Richard Vigor, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Republicans about what's next for the GOP after last week's loss in the presidential contest. What stays the same? What needs to change? David Frum is with us, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Brent Bozell joins us in a moment. There was a fair bit of finger-pointing last week, some of it Republicans at one another, some of it Republicans, conservatives, at American voters. Here was Fox's Sean Hannity telling Americans on election night that it's going to be hard times in a second Obama term and that basically they deserve it.
You know, I'm going to say this. Americans, you get the government you deserve. And it pains me to say this, but America now deserves Barack Obama. You deserve what you voted for. I know half the country didn't vote that way, but America deserves the government that they want and they deserve. America wanted Barack Obama 4 more years. Now you've got him. Good luck with that.
And Rush Limbaugh saying, hey, you don't want leadership. You want Santa Claus. Here's Limbaugh.
Romney's recipe was the old standby American route to success. Hard work. That gets sneered at. I'm sorry. In a country of children where the option is Santa Claus or work, what wins?
A country of children, Rush Limbaugh calls the United States of America, the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, running really a hard, angry message as the election results came in, saying, well, you can hear it, not accepting.
We are in a war. We're in a war to save this nation. And abandoning our post will condemn it to a future of managed decline. Over the last 4 years, the conservative movement has grown stronger as more and more Americans recognize the bankruptcy of President Obama's vision.
Dow dropped nearly 1,000.
David Frum, we've got Brent Bozell in just a second, but first to Richard Vigory saying what the Republicans need is more Tea Party kind of approach here. And what about these big voices on the conservative media, right, saying, America, you're children, you're dooming yourself.
Well, the thing that most concerned me about Richard Vigory's message was he pointed at Mitt Romney's background and history as a more moderate Republican, and that is true, but omitted to say that the party twisted and contorted Romney until he had adopted a platform demanded by the party that was much more radical than Romney probably by background is inclined to be. That the message that Romney campaigned on a message of not only making the Bush tax cuts permanent, a policy I think most Republicans would support and that I support, but an additional tax cut of 20% in tax rates, that was very hard to figure out how it would be financed. With huge taxes in spending immediately, huge cuts in spending immediately, social spending, food stamps, and unemployment insurance, when we're not yet recovered from recession, there will be a time to bring down those kinds of budgets. But, you know, when the unemployment rate is still 8%, that's not the time. Further draconian changes all to come, and all of it seasoned with this message of contempt for those Americans who work but who don't earn enough money to pay income tax. 80% of Americans pay more in payroll tax than income tax. When you call 80% of Americans takers because they don't happen to pay as much income tax as other people, you insult them. The reason the United States voted in its majority for Barack Obama is not because they wanted to take. It was because Americans want to work. And I think incorrectly, but they came to believe that President Obama's policies would be better at putting people to work than Mitt Romney's. And the Republicans will be competitive again when we show how our policies will put people who want to work, and we stop telling people who want to work that they just want to take what doesn't belong to them.
Brent Bozell joins us right now from Alexandria, Virginia. He's president and treasurer of For America. It's a 501c4 conservative. He's president and founder of the Media Research Center. Brent Bozell, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why do you think the GOP took the licking it took last week? We know it held on to the House and made some gains as well, but you look broad. It was a tough week. Why?
Well, I think we need to take a deep breath and rethink this panic that's going on. First of all, to suggest that the GOP is out of touch. Look, in the cosmic order of things, the Democrats got just a fraction more of the vote than the Republicans did. So that would mean that the Democrats are slightly a fraction less out of touch than the Republicans. That's not. I think we're overthinking it from that standpoint. But I do. I agree 100% with Richard Viguerie on that. There is this suggestion that the Republicans have been out of touch and have been losing because they've been conservative in their approach. In fact, I will argue just the opposite. Since Ronald Reagan, you have not had a single candidate who was the nominee for the presidency of the United States from the Republican Party who carried his vision forward. I've been hearing all these reasons, and a lot of them are excuses, for why Republicans did as poorly as they did. But more important than anything else is the message of the party. What is a irrefutable truth in politics, it is define or be defined, and it is that if you distinguish yourself from the opponent, you win if you're a Republican.
Is there something about the GOP message, as we've heard it, Brent, that's just not going to sell to the new demographics of this country? I mean, everybody's seen all the numbers on Latinos, on all kinds of minorities, on women, on young women, on the young, you're on and on. What's the problem there?
You know, Tom, I see it just the opposite. Look at 2010. Look at, or 2008. What was the only victory, for all intents and purposes, that Republicans registered? It was the marriage amendment in California. Why did they win it? Look at the exit polls. It was black pastors who came over to the Republican side. If you want to appeal to minorities, think about that as an issue.
Well, what does that mean about last week's outcome, though?
If you want to appeal to Hispanics, how about embracing the idea of liberty, which is why so many of them came to this country to begin with? We're not connecting with, I mean, a problem with Republicans is that every off-cycle year, they say every year that is between elections.
Yeah.
They make this all sorts of commitments to appeal to minorities, but then come election year, they make the decision, well, it's not worth our while, and they don't do it. They've got to do it, but I suggest it's the message that's going to do it. No other way.
David Frum, bring back Reagan, talk liberty.
I don't know how the Republican Party could have advanced a more conservative message in 2012 than it did. Mitt Romney called for bringing tax rates for the wealthiest people down a further 20% from where they are right now. He called for a one-third cut in discretionary spending over the next decade. He called for radical reform in the Medicare program. On the social issues, the party committed itself to a human life amendment, which would ban all abortions, including those in cases of rape and incest. What Richard Murdoch and Todd Akin were saying was an inartful, but it was an inartful explication of what the Human Life Amendment actually does. The party did make clear its opposition to same-sex marriage. Now, Brent may not think that Romney was the ideal messenger, but the party certainly rallied to Paul Ryan, who advocated all of these things, and it was the Ryan plan that the party adopted. I am not an influential person in the Republican Party. When I plead, do not adopt the Ryan plan, don't make Paul Ryan the face of the party, I don't get listened to. Brent Bozell is an influential person in the Republican Party, and it is now not the time for people who have had the influence, who drove the party in the way they wanted it to go, to say, it wasn't us, it was all of these David Frums whom nobody listens to, and whom they will tell you nobody listens to. And that if only we did again what we did in 1978 and 1980 and 1982 and 1984, which was 30 years ago, that it will work today in a completely different society facing completely different circumstances.
Let's mix this up a little bit. Here's somebody who is influential in the GOP right now. I mean, I'm not sure that you're so far out there, David. Here's Bill Kristol, Weekly Standard editor, conservative pundit. This was on Fox News Sunday. And, he crossed a kind of Rubicon maybe yesterday, saying Republicans should get more flexible about Democratic Party calls to raise taxes on the wealthy. Here's Kristol.
You know what? It won't kill the country if we raise taxes a little bit on millionaires. I really won't, I don't think. I don't really understand why Republicans don't take Obama's offer to freeze taxes for everyone below $250,000, make it $500,000, make it a million. Really? The Republican Party is going to fall on its sword to defend a bunch of millionaires, half of whom voted Democratic?
Brent Bozell, how about it? Bill Kristol says, come on, it is time to raise taxes on millionaires. Why not? Let's go.
Bill Kristol is also the author of the phrase big government conservatism, whatever that means. Big government conservatism is, in effect, a statement that says that we'll keep the government nice and big, but we conservatives, we know how to run this big government better than liberals do. This is what I mean by a lack of a vision, a lack of a message. Look, let's look at the two points that David brought up. Abortion. This country, look at the polls, this country sees itself as pro-life today. Why wasn't Mitt Romney championing a pro-life when he was out there campaigning? Why? Because his record was not one of being a pro-life, and he knew it, and he was going to be...
In the primaries, he went to great lengths to champion that.
Let me finish.
Yeah?
The second point is, on an economic policy, what was Mitt Romney's position? He said he had a 57-point plan. I found it very interesting that in one interview, he was asked by a reporter, how do you know that your plan is going to work? He had every opportunity, if he was a Reaganite, to say Ronald Reagan gave us the single biggest peacetime expansion of the economy in the history of this nation. That's why I know it'll work. And that's not what he said. What he said was, my plan has never been tried. Now, whatever happened to a support of Reaganomics?
Hey, David says you've had the steering wheel, and you and the folks with your perspective, Brent, with respect, have driven the country, the party into a ditch.
Actually, conservatives haven't had the steering wheel.
No, I mean within the GOP. It's
not even within the GOP. Not even within the GOP. Where is the GOP running with the conservative agenda?
Well, how about the House of Representatives? That's half of Capitol Hill.
Where is the GOP saying to, look, consider this, under John Boehner, the House, the Republican majority in the Congress, has spent more than under Nancy Pelosi. How can we say it's a conservative House?
Let's go to our listeners. Steve in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Steve, you're on the air.
Tom, I'm a conservative who always votes Republican, and I think this last election showed us that our positions, and more important than our positions is the way we articulate them, have done three things that have really hurt us. And those three are, number one, our immigration policy has alienated Latinos.
Yep.
Two, our dealings with Obama have made us look like obstructionists. And three, our tax policies have made us look like we care only for the wealthy. That's what's hurt us, not our core beliefs.
Changing all three of those would be a pretty big change from these last 4 years, Steve.
We can moderate them. We can appear reasonable. We have to be politic. We can be conservative, but not to the point where half the country thinks we're obstructionists and the other half thinks we only care about the wealthy.
I'll pick those up, Steve. I appreciate your call. Let me get one more and we'll come to it. Chester in Frankfort, Kentucky. Chester, you're on the air.
So my opinion is about this, is that the Republican Party is leaning too far to the right, because when they talked to Miss Daniels, governor of Indiana, he told the Republican Party in the primary that if they put Romney up for president, they would lose the presidency.
So what, you think it's too far right, but Brent Bozell says it needs to be Reagan Republican. Would that be better for you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
It would, but you think it was too far right. How do you have it both ways?
Well, Ronald Reagan was a different type of Republican. Since then, the Republican Party's changed.
Chester, let us pick it up. Brent, there you got a couple. Chester's, it's too far right. Steve says it's wrong on immigration. It's been too obstructionist with Barack Obama, seen that way, and the tax policy of the GOP is too friendly to the wealthy. How about it, Brent?
Well, perception is reality in politics, and and what Steve was echoing is the perception, and he may be absolutely right about this. But look, where policies with Latinos is concerned, I thought conservatives had an excellent proposal with the Pence plan that said that if you had a job and you could document a job that you line up and you pay a fine for not having paid taxes and you get that job in effect, and you get to come back into.
Well, Mr. Bozell, maybe so, but the Latinos didn't seem to think so, right?
Well, because Republican Party didn't adopt it. This was just Mike Pence as a conservative who put this out there. The Republican Party didn't have a policy. So I think Steve is correct on that. Where obstructionism of Obamacare, why is it that when Republicans are on the outs, when they lose elections, they're obstructionists. But when Democrats lose elections, then on policy, based on principle, they should stand up to Republicans. Look, take an issue like Obamacare. With everything that was used to push Obamacare, and with the fact that even after it passed, this administration still spent months trying to sell it, the public didn't buy. The Republicans should have wrapped themselves around Obamacare. The Republicans should have walked away from the table. How in the world can Republicans say we are the party of fiscal discipline when they sign off on every continuing resolution and they sign off on all these programs they told their voters they were going to oppose? What happens after a while is their voters get disenchanted.
But Brent, what about David Frum's point that the situation is just not like it was in Ronald Reagan's 1980s, that you've got a lot of working people, the biggest deal in their lives is not taxes anymore, is that they feel like the economy is not working for them and they don't see the GOP necessarily as lining up in a way that will fix it for them.
I'm going to repeat myself. If you had another Reaganite with a Reaganite vision, you might have the same results. Here's something to consider. And David, this goes against David's the narrative, which is a bunch of old people vote for Republicans today. In fact,
goes against that's what the numbers showed last week.
Okay, but what was the single largest block of support for Ronald Reagan? Young people ages 18 to 25.
But that was 30.
But they're the same people. Those are the people who are today the old people. We're the same people. We just got old.
Why not a message and a vision that is a conservative vision of liberty and freedom?
David, what do you say to that?
Brent, off your back.
Brent, when you and I were young and we were supporting Ronald Reagan, if people had come to us and said the reason you should be a Republican is because Tom Dewey was a hell of a guy, we would think we heard a message from Noah. And that's the way we sound when we talk about events from 30 years ago. Just two points I think that have to be driven home. The reason that the obstruction charge stings, obviously opposition parties dissent from the policies of the administration. Mm-hmm. Now, I dissent from the policies of the administration, and you try to fight them. But the question is, what institutional means do you use? And when in the summer of 2011, the Republicans in Congress nearly forced the United States into default on its obligations, that was frightening. And it was frightening to a lot of people, even those who agreed with what the Republicans wanted to do.
Maybe that's obstructionism. We're going to hear more. Brent Bozell with For America joining us from Alexandria, Virginia. Thank you very much for being with us, Brent.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Republicans about what's next for the GOP after last week's loss in the presidential contest. What stays the same? What has to change? Here's Bill O'Reilly. Fox's dismay turning to anger toward those who voted for President Obama as results came in.
The white establishment is now the minority. And the voters, many of them, feel that this economic system is stacked against them, and they want stuff. You're going to see a tremendous Hispanic vote for President Obama, overwhelming black vote for President Obama, and women will probably break President Obama's way. People feel that they are entitled to things, and which candidate between the two is going to give them things.
Bill O'Reilly on election night. David Frum is with us, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush, author of Patriots and Comeback, Conservatism That Can Win Again. That was 07. Now he's just written the ebook Why Romney Lost. Joins us from Washington. With us from New York is Raihan Salam, contributing editor at the National Review, co-author with Ross Douthat of Grand New Party, columnist for The Daily. Raihan Salam, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What about this kind of, we heard it in several clips here, Bill O'Reilly right there, sort of dissing that whole majority that voted for the president. You know, they're takers, they want stuff, they're entitled. I mean, we heard that in the Mitt Romney bootleg video. Is that now a significant reaction in the GOP? Can you win, dissing more than half the country?
The policies that Mitt Romney was implicitly denouncing in his remarks are policies that were actually devised by Republicans, many of them devised during the Reagan era, to take a lot of folks earning low incomes off of the tax rolls. So that was actually a conservative triumph, and a lot of conservatives seem to have forgotten that. There's another majority that I think folks ought to keep in mind. In the fall of 2011, back when Republicans were gearing up to run for the presidency, there was a poll from Bloomberg which found that 53% of self-identified Republicans favored an increase in taxes on households earning more than $250,000 a year. Now, 53% isn't necessarily an overwhelming majority by any means, and just, because a majority of self-identified Republicans favored raising taxes on the rich doesn't mean that it's the right policy. Like David, I tend to favor lower taxes, but I think that when you're going to raise revenue, it turns out that there are a lot of Republicans out there who favored that, yet there wasn't anyone actually making that case. So when Bill Kristol comes out and says, it's not the end of the world for taxes to go up a little bit on the very affluent, he's actually saying something that a huge number of rank-and-file Republicans, possibly even a majority of them, happen to believe and have believed for a long time.
Why don't we hear that on Capitol Hill? I mean, even now, okay, Bill Kristol's close to Capitol Hill, but he's not on it. Will we hear that in this fiscal cliff negotiation? Okay, we'll do it.
Well, I actually think that you are hearing it. The question is, you're hearing it in this very kind of sub rosa kind of way. So, for example, you had Speaker Boehner agree that we ought to have more revenue. Now, he's saying it in a very convoluted way, partly because he knows that there's a lot of resistance to that idea. But you also had Pat Toomey, senator from Pennsylvania, who is the president of the Anti-Tax Club for Growth, agree to somewhat higher levels of revenue. Now, I think that, again, there are a lot of big questions. I personally think we really need a larger overhaul of the tax code, and there's a lot of creative talk right now about, for example, keeping the top rate at 35% while curbing deductions, an idea that Mitt Romney floated during that brief, successful period of his campaign when he seemed to be going back to his moderate Mitt image. So I think that there are lots of ways that Republicans can press for higher revenues, higher average taxes.
Close the loopholes.
With that higher marginal tax rate.
We heard from David Frum why he thinks it didn't go well for the GOP last week. What's your view, Ryan? Why did the GOP lose the White House and more?
Well, it turns out that David Frum wrote a terrific ebook called How Romney Lost. I don't agree with it in every detail, but I think he makes a lot of very strong core points. One of them is this. When you look, very late in this election, in October, suddenly Mitt Romney was saying things that really resonated with people. He was saying, look, I'm not trying to dramatically cut taxes on rich folks. I believe that we need an economy that works for middle-income people. When Mitt Romney was saying, we need higher wages, people in America, as David has been suggesting, they want to work. And so if you make a clear case that right-of-center, that Republican policies can actually lead to tighter labor markets, can lead to higher wages over time, can lead to a situation in which the basics of a middle-class life, having decent medical insurance, having a high-quality education at a reasonable, not back-breaking cost, that these are things that well-structured markets can deliver.
But who's going to deliver that?
Can deliver.
I mean, we heard Brent Bozell, Richard Viguerie, are trashing what they call the moderate view that Mitt Romney represents.
But these are not actually moderate ideas. When you look at education, for example, one of the big problems is that we have cartels in education. We have cartels and crony capitalism reframed many domains of our economy, and actually by opening up markets, by opening up competition, we can do things that will dramatically benefit working and middle class
people. You know,
we don't have folks who are talking about
this. Well, forgive me, Raihan, but I think that's what Mitt Romney did say. I think he said, I heard him say it many times, let me open up this economy. Let me bring the dynamism of the free market in here, get a good business eye on this, and we're going to rock and roll this economy. I heard him say that many times, and he lost.
I think that it was actually drowned out by having Bob Dole's tax plan from 1996. Maybe you heard that because you were paying very close attention, Tom. I've got to say I thought I was paying close attention, too, and I heard a lot more about taxes, and I heard a lot more about energy production, both of which are important issues. But, you know, if you look at taxes, for example, what exactly was Mitt Romney saying for middle-income households who, again, tend to pay more in the way of payroll taxes than income taxes? What was he saying for them? And energy, absolutely important. Does that become your number one issue when folks are very concerned about the cost of their medical insurance and their education bills? I think not. I think that he said some decent things about education, but again, that was not the center of his campaign. The center of his campaign was repeating Bob Dole's 1996 tax plan.
Let me ask you both then, and David, I'll bring it first to you. I mean, why did the GOP seem out of touch with what was coming? There were so many Republicans saying, so from now we know, of course, in election, people say they're going to win because it helps build momentum. But still, the looks on their faces, from starting with Karl Rove, George Will, Peggy, you name it, they just could not believe this lost. Is there a problem here with staying in touch with reality? Or is this just, you know, you couldn't predict it, it was surprising? Is there, you know, Norm Ornstein gets quoted, our listeners are quoting him, saying the Republican Party that it denies facts, science, history, and experience. Is there some reality problem, David, here?
I call it... the phrase I use is that Republicans have built themselves an alternative information system. And right now, there's a lot of self-questioning among Republicans. There's a story about this in Politico. And it needs, by the way, to be stressed that Raihan Salam has always been one of the most important voices trying to pierce the alternative information system.
What does it mean, alternative information system?
What it means, we saw it dramatically when it means that all the polls say President Obama is heading to a victory by a margin of a point or two in the popular vote. And all of the Republican talkers on Fox say, ignore the polls, go with your gut. The way it feels is the way it's true. Now, what happened embarrassingly to them is elections are very dramatic events with very specific numbers. And so within a span of 3-4 days that all of the people who said, ignore the numbers, go with your gut, were embarrassed. But the same thing happens with much dangerous effect in areas of public policy. If you watch Fox News, you believe that the United States spends $1 trillion a year on welfare. Now, that's just not true. There's no conceivable way that that's true. Even if you define Medicaid as welfare, it's not true. Even if you use the United States to mean both the federal governments and the states, it's still not true.
Wow.
And yet that factoid is repeated over and over again. Did taxes go up or down under the Obama administration? President Obama would like to raise taxes in a second term, but in his first term, he did not raise taxes. And yet people were told that he did. And so what happened was conservatives had in their minds pieces of information that were just at variance with real-world experience.
Did that come back to bite in this result somehow?
That's what drove the 47% remark that did so much damage. The grain of truth in what Mitt Romney said in that bootleg tape was that only 53% of Americans now pay income taxes. And that's true. That's an artifact of the recession because incomes are down. 47% of Americans pay no income tax, no federal personal income tax.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they pay no tax.
Right.
Two-thirds of those people pay payroll taxes.
Sure.
And by the way, 80% of the country pays more in payroll tax. But it conjured up in conservatives' minds a false image of the country, and then it flowed back into Mitt Romney's mind. And one of the reasons he could not speak in the way Raihan and his writing partner Ross Douthat have argued about middle class problems is that Romney internalized this view of half the country as mendicants, moochers, and exploiters who are looking for a free ride at the expense of other people. Well, it's hard to love a country like that. It's hard to love those voters. It's hard to speak to them if you think they're bums. And the idea that half the country are made up of bums and Republicans have to get all of their votes from the half of America that is worthy, that makes you a really bad campaigner, a really bad campaigner.
I want to bring that to you, Raihan. A couple of calls first. Tanya in Boston. Thanks for calling, Tanya. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk about, you know, some of the people you had on earlier were talking about how the Republican Party as it is not conservative enough. And I just find that really odd, because it's my feeling that it was the very conservative social stance of the Republicans that led to the loss. Because going into the election, a great majority of the country, you know, went into the election with the economy on their mind. And there were a lot of people who felt that Mitt Romney was the candidate that was best equipped to deal with that.
Yep.
Yet Barack Obama still won. And so I just feel that, you know, even here in Massachusetts, I live in Massachusetts, I meet so many people who say they're a social Democrat and a fiscal Republican.
Yep.
And so I think as America heads towards becoming a very open-minded country with open-minded social views, the Republican Party, if they don't adjust their social views, I think I genuinely feel the way that it is right now, the way it stands, they're on their way to extinction.
Tanya, let us pick that up. One more call, I'll go right to it. Thank you for that. I've got it. Ron in Montgomery, Alabama, you're on the air, Ron.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I believe the Republicans are going to have to change position on these taxes. I believe in public, and, you know, they're just posturing to save face, but behind the scenes, they have to know that the rich are looking at the numbers. If we go off the fiscal cliff, it will cost a 10% a lot more in losses of assets and reduction of jobs than just paying, what, an extra 5% more in taxes?
And you're hearing a lot of CEOs who are saying a version of that right now, Ron, shouting it in Washington.
Exactly.
Hey, let us pick that one up as well. Forgive me, Ron, but our time begins to grow short here. Raihan, first to Tanya's point. We'll come to Ron's. Tanya says, look, this is an open-minded country, and it's getting more open-minded, and the GOP, you know, tripped very badly over that. How does the GOP future look if she's right, that this is, on social terms, becoming a much more open-minded country, and they're not going to take what has been traditional GOP conservative social stances?
I think you have to disaggregate these issues to some extent. For example, Brent Bozell earlier on had observed that in 2008, a large number of black voters backed, rolling back same-sex marriage in California. Yeah. The thing is that among African-American voters and Latino voters, support for same-sex marriage has dramatically increased. And, of course, support for same-sex marriage is much higher among voters under 40 than it is for voters over 40. I think that's an area where I think that local democracy will have to prevail. If you look at a guy like Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, he has said, look, I will acquiesce to a referendum on this issue. I just don't want this to be imposed by the legislature or by the courts. And we're now seeing that that's something that, you know, might actually pass. So I think that local democracy is the right position on that issue. If you look at abortion, this is a very tricky issue because there are large numbers of Republicans who do favor legal abortion. They might favor more restrictions on legal abortion that are permitted right now, but I think that basically, with the abortion issue, it's also an issue that has to be framed in terms of local democracy, and it's also the first time in many, many years when the pro-life constituency wound up actually being a problem for Republicans. Generally speaking, pro-life voters are very intense, they're very dedicated, and they're a huge boon politically to the Republican Party. This was a cycle in which the views of a minority of folks on abortion and incest happened to be a huge problem for the party as a whole. So I think that you're going to have to see some rethinking. For example, in lieu of the Human Life Amendment, you might want to have the Republican Party champion an amendment saying that we believe that states should be allowed to regulate the practice of abortion, rather than saying that this should be imposed on the country as a whole. I think that's a very sensitive issue, but I think it is very important.
One more call. I'll come to you, David. Michael in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Michael, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Really just sort of 2 points, and I'm speaking as a registered independent, but someone who probably votes Republican as much as I vote Democrat. And I just have to say that the Republican Party has become so much the party of hyperbole that it's numbing. And particularly in this election, where if ever there was a time where people were hungry for some mature, reasoned discourse, we heard the same old tired hyperbole with, from everyone from Paul Ryan through all of the Republican candidates in the primary, with Michelle Bachmann and having God tell her to run, and the Bryce married Newt Gingrich being a defender of family values.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody trying to be crazier than the other with their language. Things like, you know, war on this and war on that.
Our time is short, Michael. Let me pick it up right there. We've got it. David Frum, the hyperbole party. What about that charge on this independent wannabe Republican voter, but maybe not recently? And what about Ron in Montgomery, Alabama, saying you got to give on taxes? Even the wealthy at this point don't want the fiscal cliff drop.
Look, the point about hyperbole is true and I think very important. And we saw Republicans work themselves into a belief that this election was the last midnight battle between liberty and socialism, and that if things were lost in 2012, the United States would plunge into some nightmare totalitarian future. Well, that's not going to happen. We are going to have a more expensive government than we otherwise should or would. But if you speak to people in that way, you frighten off a lot of people in the middle, and you also make people think you're just not a responsible holder of power. That's what happened above all in that 2011 debt ceiling debate. The Republicans sent a message, we are not responsible holders of power, and power is a heavy responsibility. If you're not responsible, you won't be trusted with it.
How do you get out of the white cul-de-sac, Raihan?
You do it by having a middle-class message. When you're looking at these different groups of voters, Asian American voters, Latino voters, they're basically voting like other folks who are in the same economic circumstances. So if you do not have a compelling message for middle-class, upwardly mobile people, you are, of course, not going to win middle-class, upwardly mobile people of any ethnic group.
How do you get out of hyperbole land?
That's a tougher question, partly because hyperbole is very satisfying. Looking at the world in a spirit of despair is very easy to do if you're on the losing side. But I think that conservatives need to do a better job of getting back in touch with the country in which they live. The country has changed a lot in 30 years, and they need to see that there's still people who will be receptive to this market-oriented, freedom-oriented message, provided they actually meet Americans where they really live right now.
That sounds like a challenge. Everybody's going to be watching to see how that works out and where the hyperbole meter goes in the years ahead. You guys are great to be with us today. Raihan Salam, contributing editor at the National Review. Thank you very much for joining us, Raihan.
Thanks.
And David Frum, author of the new ebook, Why Romney Lost. Thanks for joining us today, David.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, thanks for your calls and insights. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.